Sairam, dear listeners, for all those of you who have been tuned on to our live stream till now, wow, that song, Start the Day with Love. I'm sure that being on Radio Sai throughout the day, we do nothing else but start the day with love, fill the day with love, spend the day with love, and end it with love. And that is surely the way to God, our dear Sai Rama, our dear Sai Krishna. Well, the last week, we had promised that this would be the beginning of a new series. And both Prem and myself were in a kind of quandary. And that was because the recently concluded series has been Satyam Shivam Sundaram, the beautiful and nectarine story of our dear Lord. What series can we find that can match up to the splendor and glory of Swami's life story? And that was the trouble, that was the dilemma and the quandary that I spoke about. And it took us a lot of thinking and a lot of feeling and a lot of prayer to come up with what we have decided to be the new series that we shall proceed with for the next few months from now. This will be the series that will be replacing Satyam Shivam Sundaram. And to tell you more about that, I invite Brother Prem, who is along with me here in the studios, joining us for the satsang. And I will hand over the mic to him after offering our most humble and gracious salutations at the lotus feet of our dear Swami, who is present, ever present, omnipresent during all our satsangs. Sairam Prem.
Sairam Arvind, and Sairam to all listeners of Radio Sai. Yes, it's a new beginning, it's a new day where we're going to start a brand new series. You know, Arvind, I was talking to one of our colleagues, Arvind Sai. And I think most of our listeners will be aware of how he is associated with the Burra Katha team. He was one of those three people who were with that team, which got a lot of attention from Swami, a lot of personal interest from Swami during their, the heydays of the Burra Katha time. I was asking him, I remember in the year 2009, that was the time when they were trying for their MBA. He had finished his MA in economics and he was trying for MBA. And when they were supposed to be having an interview with the vice chancellor for their MBA, they actually had an interview with the chancellor.
Oh wow. Okay.
Because I remember that very clearly. They were waiting for going in for the interview and group discussion, and they suddenly got a call from Mandir saying that Swami is waiting for them. And so
wow.
They had an interview in the interview room with Swami.
What a beautiful substitute interview.
Right. That was in the year 2009 in May. And among the many things that Swami was talking with them during that interview and during that period, Swami asked them, what all Burra Kathas do you have?
What are the different topics?
Themes which they have. So I think around that time they had a Burra Katha on Shirdi Baba, they had one on Ishwaramma, they had two or three on Swami. There was one on water project, there was one on Swami's life. So they said all this. And Swami suddenly asked them, do you have a Burra Katha on Ramayana?
On the Ramayana.
Right? So they said, no Swami, we have not prepared any. Swami said, ask your teacher to write one on Ramayana and come to me. So when they had exhausted Swami's story, they had exhausted the story about the Sai Avatar, Swami said the next one is Ramakatha.
And so dear listeners, taking cue from that experience and also inspiration from Swami, definitely, we have decided that the series that will be replacing the Satyam Shivam Sundaram will be the Ramakatha Rasavahini. For what can replace the nectarine flow of the Lord's story but the nectarine flow of the Lord's story? And so from Sai Rama, we move on to Sri Rama. And let us assure you, dear listeners, that this is going to be a mesmerizingly beautiful story, just like our Sai Rama story, because this avatar of Mahavishnu, Lord Rama, has received a lot of attention and a lot of inputs on his story we have received from our dear Bhagwan.
And many times, you know, when Swami has spoken about Ramayana, and innumerable other times when Swami has sat through listening to the Ramakatha rendition. Because there have been batches and batches of students who have been popular because of Ramakatha.
Correct.
In the 70s, there were a couple of boys who said they were the Ramakatha boys. And then the 80s, there was a batch. Then I remember when my classmates were in school, there were a couple of students who were very young, you know, little students.
From the music college.
Right, 8th standard. No, that was the next batch.
Oh, okay.
This was
okay.
When my classmates were in 8th and 9th standard.
Okay.
There was a Ramakatha batch. And then when we came to, masters, there was this music college batch which was Ramakatha. Then when I passed out, I remember Arvind Sai's brother, Arun Sai Krishna, he was part of one Ramakatha batch. So I think that importance which Swami gave to Ramayana, to the singing of the story of Rama, is unparalleled. You cannot compare any other character or epic which got that much importance from Swami.
Exactly. And if we see in general Prem, we come across two avatars of the Lord, which are very popular and which have given rise to the greatest epics from India, the Ramayana and the Mahabharata.
Right.
And these two avatars are Lord Rama and Lord Krishna. And if we ponder a little, we will come to know that these are the two avatars that were most accessible to everyone, even in their physical period of sojourn on earth. Rama was available to the people of all castes, all categories. He was available to the fishermen, as we will see in the Ramakatha. He was available to rocks. He was available to animals, monkeys, bears. He was available to all, and everybody could win his grace. That universality of Rama is matched only by the universality of Krishna. None of the avatars before and the next, we see that kind of universality being matched only by our Swami. And so I feel this is a common thread that runs between Swami, Rama and Krishna. And therefore, it's again another perfect choice to pick up Rama's story after Sai Rama's story.
And one particular shloka which, you know, brings out the importance of Ramayana. This is supposed to be part of Shiva Purana, if I'm not wrong.
Or okay.
It has a mention even in the Bhagavatam, I think. Where Lord Shiva says that if you chant the name of Rama, it is equal to chanting the name of Vishnu 1,000 times.
Uh-huh.
And that is one of the most famous shlokas which propound the importance of the Ramanam. And I think before we go on to the significance of Ramayana and Lord Rama, should we begin with that?
Yes. But before that, you know, just one more. I just remembered one very, very interesting anecdote as well as a speciality of the Ramayana that we are going to discuss now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, often the stories of the Lord are chronicled by different chroniclers. And more often than not, always they have been only biographies at best.
Mm-hmm.
The biography of different lords. Now, the Ramakatha Rasavahini can be called an autobiography. I remember in one awareness class when the warden was teaching us from this holy book, the Ramakatha Rasavahini, which Swami has written. It has been published in two separate parts. It is the biggest written work in terms of its volume by Swami. At that time he said, if we see the Valmiki Ramayana, the original Sanskrit Ramayana written by sage Valmiki, hats off to him, our salutations to him, we will come to him a little bit later. That is like the Ramayana written in a manner in which man sees a great man. Valmiki has written about Rama as a mortal because he was his contemporary. And then you come later on, in the 15th or 16th century, if I am not mistaken, we have the Tulsi Ramayana, the Ramcharit Manas. And this is the way a devotee looks at the Lord. This is a Ramayana written with that flavor. Not as a man looking at another great man, but like a devotee looking at his Lord. So it oozes with bhakti. The third, in this century, the Ramakatha Rasavahini, written by Swami, is the way God looks at God. It cannot get more authentic than that. And as we shall discover during the course of this series, we will come across so many phenomenal, fantastic insights which Swami has given about this Ramayana. And therefore, it is not going to be just the Ramayana. It is going to be the Ramayana in a manner of an autobiographical account, because it is Swami who has written about this Rama story, the Ramakatha Rasavahini. I am reminded of an incident that Shri T.G. Krishnamurti sir, who was formerly the state president, right, of the Tamil Nadu state, he narrated. He said that in 1993, he got this great chance of spending a few months with Swami. Mm-hmm. You know, he was like a caretaker for Swami and he got this privileged chance. And he said that during the night, it would be only him and Swami in the room and he would get that chance to press Swami's feet. And at that time, Swami would tell him, ask whatever you want. And he said that, you know, I ran out of questions. What do I ask? Swami is available full, completely now. And one of the times he asked a question was this. You know, again, it's from the Ramayana. He asked, Swami, did Rama's power after the war with Ravana, did it decline a bit?
Mm-hmm.
So Swami asked him, why are you asking this question? He said, Swami, that is how it is recorded, you know. Because till then, Rama was invanquishable. Nobody could conquer him. And yet, after the war, his power decreased to such a level, you know, maybe it was like the last surge of effort he needed to defeat the demonic forces. Once he defeated Ravana, after that, even his own children, Lava and Kusha, in a battle defeated him.
Mm-hmm.
Small children, they were not even teenagers at that time. And in a war, they defeated him. So, definitely Rama's powers underwent weakening. So, Swami said, who said? Rama's power didn't become weak. Then he said, Swami, but in the Valmiki Ramayana, and then Swami said, Atan kem tilsu. What does he know? I am telling you, my powers did not decrease. Wow. That, you know, that voice of authenticity. What does Valmiki know? I am telling you, powers did not reduce. Then he continued, you know, he said, then why, Swami? Why did he lose? And you know, Swami beautifully told him, he said, you know Matrudevo Bhava, Pitrudevo Bhava?
Mm-hmm.
He said, yes, Swami. What does it mean? Swami, it means mother is God, father is God. Who told you that? Swami asked him. Swami, you only told that, Swami? Yes, I only told that. You know, when Swami says, I only told that, it is so hair-raising and so thrilling because this is a Veda Vakya that is there when we chant it on every convocation, Matra Devo Bhava, Pitru Devo Bhava. And Vedas are said to be apaurusheya. They are not written by anybody. These were mantras and hymns that were seen by the sages. And here was Swami saying, yes, I was the one who told them. You know, it shows the divine origin. It's so thrilling. And then Swami said, I have said that the mother is God. And here, when Lava Kusha went to Mother Sita, and then Swami told him, you have no idea about the chastity and purity of Mother Sita. She is an ideal for womanhood, for motherhood, for everything, for wifehood, for everything, you know. She is an ideal. And when such a mother has blessed the children saying that Vijayi Bhava, go be victorious. If at all Rama had defeated them, then for generations to come, because Ramayana will be read for generations to come, it will show the mother's blessing as something secondary to the Lord's blessings, which is not. Mother is the first God, and in order to prove that, I lost to my children. You know, that is what Swami told him. And so, you know, that is why this story of Ramayana is going to be so exciting and thrilling, because we have got these insights from Swami himself.
And that is a very important thing, because it is important not to look at Ramayana in the traditional sense, you know, because there are a lot of nitpicking which happens with the story of Ramayana. People say, why this happened, why Rama did it like this, you know, why this character had to go through these events. It is very important to see Ramayana from Swami's point of view.
Mm.
Why Swami played it the way it was played, because that is the essence of it. And whenever Swami spoke about the Ramakatha Rasmani, as you said, you know, it is one of the longest running series, even the Sanatan Sati, the longest written book by Swami, because it started way back in the year 1970, February issue, I think.
I think we should tell our listeners that all the Vahinis that we see today, whether it is Ramakatha Rasa Vahini, Bhagavata Vahini or Prema Vahini, all of them were actually articles that Swami wrote in the Sanatana Sarathi since its inception in 1958, right?
Right.
1958. And these articles were later compiled theme-wise into these Vahini books. So as Prem was saying, in the February 1970 issue of Sanatana Sarathi, Swami started this series called Ramakatha Rasa Vahini. And it extended till?
It went on for 7 years.
Oh, till August 1977.
August.
So it
must have been one of the longest series from 70 to 77. And we have spoken about Vahinis before, how Swami kept writing these, whether he was traveling, whether he was, you know, busy with other work, he was establishing organizations, but these Vahinis were something which never stopped. So this is one of the longest series. And in fact, that very first chapter, Swami actually teaches us how you should listen to Ramayana, how you should learn Ramayana.
You know, Swami says that Ramayana has two aspects, just like a fruit. It has the fruit and the juice. So he says some people mistake the Ramayana for the fruit. Some people consider Ramayana to be the fruit, while some people consider Ramayana to be the juice. He says both are not wrong, both are right. But yet, there is an important lesson to be learnt here. You know, Swami says if you take an orange fruit, it has the rind that is covering and protecting the fruit. Then inside you have the fibrous part with lot of thread-like substances. Within is the flesh which is embedded with seeds. So first you have to open the rind, throw it off, separate the fibrous part, then pick out all the seeds, throw them, and then enjoy the juice of the fruit. Swami says that juice is the Karuna Rasa and the Bhakti Rasa, the juice of compassion and the juice of devotion. He says Ramayana is all about the juice, because orange is nothing but the juice. And yet, for the existence of the orange in a worldly plane, it needs to be packaged with the seed, with the fibrous substance, with the rind around it. But that is a worldly presentation. In the same way, Rama or the characters in the Ramayana, because they have to exist in a worldly plane, they do some actions, they do different things, and there are good stories, there are bad stories, there are stories of demons, there are stories of hatred that are embedded in the Ramayana. But just like one separates the rind, throws away the seeds, and partakes only the sweet juice, so too, when one is doing the Parayana of the Ramayana, one should have the discrimination and ability to throw away these other stories, other, you know, as you said, the nitpicking that comes in, and be able to enjoy the Karuna Rasa and the Bhakti Rasa that is prevalent throughout the Ramayana. That is how one must listen to the Ramayana, with love and devotion in the heart. And Swami says, you do it and you will see how beautiful it is, how elevating it is, how uplifting it is, how you will listen to this and feel, I don't need anything else in this world other than listen to the story of the Ramayana.
And so beautifully Swami has named it the Ramakatha Rasa Vahini. Mm-hmm. You know, you could have named it Ramakatha Vahini, the flow of the story of Rama. Hmm. But he said Ramakatha Rasa Vahini. This is the essence of that story of Rama, which he's going to share, and that is why it is very important. In fact, you know, Swami has not given as much clarity about what is this rasa of Ramakatha in the beginning of Ramakatha as much as he's given in another Vahini which he has written.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is a Sandeha Nivarini where an entire chapter is about the essence of Ramayana.
Okay.
And interestingly, the Sandeha Nivarini is no second person asking the question. Swami has written the Vahini in a way that somebody is asking a question and Swami is answering.
Okay, who is the person who is asking question? Oh, Swami himself.
Swami himself has written the script in a manner, and the questions are so beautiful.
Sandeha Nivarini incidentally means one that will dispel doubts.
Doubts. In fact, even if we read that text, you know, you will know what kind of doubts Swami wants us to have.
Mm-hmm.
Because there Swami himself has written the doubts and Swami himself has clarified it.
Mm.
There the devotee goes and asks Swami, Swami, what is this Ramayana? You say that Ramayana happens within us. And so he asks him, what is this Ramayana, Swami? What are you talking about this Ramayana? How do we read the story of Ramayana? So then Swami goes on to say, Rama is actually the Atma. And that mm-hmm. is why he is called Atma Rama.
Wow.
And the other meaning of Atma Rama is, Swami says, Atma Arama. The one who rejoices in the Atma. He does not derive pleasure from anything else, but only from his self.
Wow.
So Swami says, first of all, the idea that Rama suffered, that Rama went through pain, that Rama struggled, Rama, you know, collected powers on the way and used the help of others, all these are actually your own imagination. Rama was only the eternal witness. He chose to play the drama.
You know, Prem, I'm interrupting you, I know, but you triggered another thought. This which Swami has expressed in the Ramakatha Rasa Vahini, he says exactly this. You know, he says, you take a sugar cane. Sugar cane in Sanskrit is called Ikshvaku. And again, you may call it coincidence, but I firmly believe that coincidences are miracles where God has chosen to be anonymous. That's all. Ikshvaku is sugarcane. Ikshvaku is also the ancestor of Lord Rama. Therefore, it is said that Lord Rama was from the Ikshvaku clan. And Swami says, just like this Ikshvaku, Ramayana means he. It's not a coincidence that he's from the Ikshvaku clan. Ramayana is as sweet as the sugarcane juice. And Swami then clarifies saying, if you look at a sugarcane, it has knotty areas which are knotted. It has hard areas. It is crooked. It goes in different shapes. But whatever be the shape, whatever be the size, however hard be the flesh of the sugarcane, every part has the same sweetness. And Swami says Rama's story too is like that. Dear listeners, we will take a little break and we'll come back with the beautiful inner significance that Swami gives for the Ramayana, which makes the Ramayana universal in its application and its approach. But before that, let us enjoy singing the beauty of the Rama Nama. Let us listen to the melodious chants of the Rama Nama, because Swami says that just listening, that we will again play it in the discourse later on, you will see where Swami says that just this listening to the Rama Nama is equivalent to listening to the Vedas themselves, because the Bijaksharas, the root letters of the Rama name, are so powerful and so elevating. More on that after this little break, where we shall enjoy the sweetness of the juice of Rama's name, Rama Katha Rasa.
Sri Rama Rama Rameti Rame Rame Manorame Sahasranama Tatulyam Rama Nama Varanane Rama Nama Varanane Sri Rama Charanam Sri Rama Charanam Sri Rama Charanam Bhaje Sri Rama Charanam Sri Rama Charanam Sri Rama Charanam Bhaje Sri Rama Charanam Sri Rama Charanam Sri Rama Charanam Bhaje Sri Rama Charanam Sri Rama Charanam Sri Rama Charanam Bhaje Vaidehi Ramam Vaikuntha Dhamam Vaidehi Ramam Vaikuntha Dhamam Bhupala Chudamani Chudamani Atma Bhiramam Prabhu Sai Ramam Atma Bhiramam Prabhu Sai Ramam Sri Rama Charanam Bhaje శ్రీరామ చరణం భజే శ్రీరామ చరణం భజే సత్య సాయి రామ చరణం భజే శ్రీరామ చరణం శ్రీరామ చరణం శ్రీరామ చరణం భజే శ్రీరామ చరణం శ్రీరామ చరణం శ్రీరామ చరణం భజే వైదేహి రామం వైకుంఠధామం భూపాలచూడామణి ఆత్మాభిరామం ప్రభు సాయి రామం శ్రీరామ చరణం భజే శ్రీరామ చరణం భజే సత్య సాయి రామ చరణం భజే శ్రీరామ చరణం శ్రీరామ చరణం శ్రీరామ చరణం భజే
మేక్స్ యూ ఫీల్ లైక్ జస్ట్ మెల్టింగ్ ఇన్ టు ద బ్యూటిఫుల్ నేమ్ ఆఫ్ రామ రైట్ ఫ్రేమ్
అండ్ హౌ మెనీ టైమ్స్ స్వామి హెస్ స్పోకెన్ అబౌట్ ది స్వీట్నెస్ ఇన్ ద నేమ్ ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్ స్వామి యూ సే రామ 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 యూ జస్ట్ చాంట్ దట్ నేమ్ అండ్ ఇట్ విల్ కామ్ యువర్ మైండ్
ఇన్ ఫ్యాక్ట్ ద వర్డ్ రామ హ్యాస్ బీన్ డిరైవ్డ్ ఫ్రమ్ ద రూట్ విచ్ మీన్స్ టు అట్రాక్ట్ రమ్యతే ఇది రామ సో యు నో ద నేమ్ ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్ ఇస్ సో బ్యూటిఫుల్ అండ్ what I'm just at a loss of words to speak on how calming and how beautiful this whole experience has been just listening to this bhajan
right and that is why he's even called Ramachandra that's what Swami says he's like the sweet calming moon the cool light of the moon
now we come back to what we were talking that is the spiritual significance of Lord Rama. You know, Ramayana on one hand, as we said, has the rind, the fiber and the seeds. If you look at it, it's like another story. But this story is so metaphorical, so powerful, that just contemplation on the story, reading it again and again, gives such tremendous insights. It liberates you from this worldly cycle of birth and death. It just takes you to a plane where you are unaffected by pleasures or pains or sorrows or happiness. Nothing ever touches you and you are in a state of tranquil bliss. And that is why possibly this story is done as a Parayana almost twice every year. Once during the Ram Navami time, once during the Dasara time. This story is just narrated. You know, it's almost like everybody knows the story. And yet everybody listens. I remember there were two Parayanams that were held in Prashanthi Nilayam when I was a student. When in Swami's physical presence, once when I was a student and once after I had joined the Radio Sai. One was a Bhagavata Parayanam and one was the Ramayana Parayanam. You know, when this was announced, it was said that it will be a 7-day festival where each day one aspect of the story will be told. Ramayana is often easy because it has 7 khandas. You know, another thing, again I'm going in a byline. You know the meaning of the word khanda? Kalakanda. Khanda also means sugar candy.
Right.
And it's not again a coincidence that each part of the Ramayana is called one candy, one sugar candy. It's one flavored candy. Kanda also means an expanse of water. An expanse of water. And you know, Ramayana has been considered like an ocean. An ocean which is limitless in its potentialities, in the pearls, gems and treasures that it holds beneath it. And again, you know, another similarity with our Swami is Swami comes from a family which is called Ratnakara, which means, again, the ocean. There is something common between the Lord and the ocean, definitely. And so, yeah, coming back to this Paranam that I was speaking about. When this was announced, my first thoughts were, oh, come on, the same story. I know the story. I have read it so many times. And yet, Prem, I can cross my heart and swear as I tell this, as each day passed, and as I heard the same story, I assure you, the same story that I have read that I already know. Yet, unlike any other story, this story made such a tremendous impact. Each story gave me greater vigor and enthusiasm and energy in life to lead life. It gave me so much thrill and so much thrall, because there is something magical about the story of Rama, about the story of Krishna, just like there is something magical about the story of our Sai Rama. And that is why this Parayanam is held every year, where people just hear the story of Rama, because just hearing the story of Rama gives insights and takes us to a state which is beyond imagination. And this is on the direct physical front. But Swami has given such a deep, beautiful meaning to the Ramayana. And once we hear to this interpretation, hear to this actual significance of the Ramayana, I'm sure Ramayana becomes universal and everybody will be able to associate with it, identify themselves with it.
Before we go to that, I was just reminded, as you were saying about the Ramayana Parayana, about one very jovial chinnakatha which Swami says about doing Parayana of Ramayana. You know, he says there is an elderly pandit who is doing Ramayana Parayanam, and it's a 7-day Parayanam.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that many people come, some people sit through the whole Parayanam, and some people get up and go, some people don't come the next day, some people come, you know, once in a few days. But there is one lady who is the first to come into the hall, who sits through the entire Parayanam and sits through all the days.
Mm-hmm. And all the 7 days.
All the 7 days, and all through the Parayanam, as the, you know, pandit is telling the story of Ramayana, this lady sits there and keeps crying and crying and crying. And, you know, Swami, I mean, I'm no match to describing it the way Swami is doing. Maybe
you know,
sometime
Prem,
we should play that clip.
I think this video clip has been uploaded by somebody onto YouTube.
Yes.
Where Swami in Thrai is narrating the story.
It has been done by the students in the hostel.
Oh, okay.
His message, and his voice and his message, one of those videos in which it's very beautifully Swami is telling, and I think sometime we should play that clip, when Swami is saying that at the end of the 7 days, this man is so pleased with this lady. So he says that when you give that
prasadam.
You know, prasadam and that holy water after the parayanam is done, he says, first I will give it to this lady.
Who has been sincerely attending.
She is the most sincere. She has attended all the days. And he goes to her, gives her the prasadam, and he says, Mother.
And you know, Swami adds, he says, not only attended, she was the first to come, the last to leave, and throughout she's shedding tears. Ah, that means the pandit is pleased with her devotion and love.
And then Swami says, no, pandit goes to her and he says, Mother, I'm so overwhelmed by your devotion that, you know, you sat and you cried. He says, but what aspect of Rama made you cry like this? You know, what did you like so much about the Ramayana, and what moved you so much? So then Swami says, the lady tells, answers,
Ni Ramayana em kaadu.
Ni Ramayana Parayana naaku em artham kaaledu.
I didn't understand a word of what you're telling your Ramayana Parayana over there.
He said, I had no idea. And then Swami says that the Ramayana book which you are carrying, to mark the page in which you are finishing that day's topic.
The bookmark.
Bookmark. You know, there is one
thread.
A thread, a twine kind of a thing which is there in old books.
He said, black thread.
That black thread which you use as a bookmark, that reminded me of the thread which my husband used to wear around his waist.
A black thread, yes.
Which was traditional, you know, they wear that black thread around the waist. It's a tradition in India. He said, my husband passed away long back, but he used to wear a thread like that. So every day I used to come see the thread, remember my husband, and cry.
And you know, the poignant part is, after narrating the story, Swami said, Mana pillalu kuda antene. He says, our boys are also like that.
Right.
You know, I remember in that tri-session video also, when you see, till now it's a jovial atmosphere, everybody becomes serious. And Swami says, they sit right in the front and keep shedding tears
and they will
emotionally
not take their eyes out of Swami.
Off Swami. But when it comes to what Swami has said, they have understood nothing. You know, it's a heart-wrenching statement actually. And Swami, you know, that is Swami's beauty. Even such a painful thing, he has been exhorting for years, and he sees that nobody is accepting it, nobody is practicing it. Yet he is able to make a joke out of it and present it so beautifully. Before you go into the inner significance of Ramayana, I am reminded of another Parayana story which Swami says, because all these, you know, all these stories are important because they give us insight as to how one must listen to a Parayana. You know, Swami says that there was this person who was regular every year to listen to the Ramayana Parayana which this priest used to do. And it became part of his, tradition. Every year, if I should listen to this Parayana. And you know, they say that the story of Lord Rama is so liberating, it makes you lose all your attachment to the world. It gets you attached so strongly to the Lord, and you have no other interest left in the world. So that is the reason why everybody attends the Parayana also, because they want the ultimate gift. But now this one year, this person who was a businessman had some business dealings to work out during the Parayana time, mm-hmm. because of which he was unable to attend the Parayana. So now he decides that since I have taken a vow that I should attend, if not me, let my son attend. At least a representation from the family is there. As he decides that and feels happy about his decision, he suddenly gets a doubt. He feels that, look, I have reached an age now where I am about to retire and want to hand over everything to my son. Hand over the reins of my business and everything to my son. Now if my son goes to the Ramayana and gets detached from the world, he becomes a sannyasi. Oh God, what do I do now? So he decides that he will have a word with that Pandit beforehand, telling him that, you know, be careful, don't be very exuberant and energetic in your discourse, so that my son gets inspired and becomes a renunciant. So he goes to the Pandit, and Swami narrates the story. He says, he tells the Pandit that, you know, be careful in your Parayana. The Pandit begins to laugh loudly. The scholar laughs loudly and he says, sir, you have attended my Parayana for decades now. If after all that, you have not got an iota of detachment, you are still cancelling a Parayana for the sake of your business and you are thinking of handing over your business, do you think that listening to a few hours will make him detached and renunciant? No, you don't worry. You go happily for your business. Nothing is going to happen to your son. You don't worry. You know, again, this gets us to the point that how it is a two-way process. Yes, the story of Lord Rama is redeeming and beautiful, of course. But our efforts also count. How intent we are, how keen we are on getting the Karuna Rasa and Bhakti Rasa, as Swami said. How intent we are in being able to throw out the rind, the seeds, and enjoy the juice matter a lot. And the juice is definitely what Swami has said about the spiritual inner significance of the Ramayana.
And the beauty and the problem of Ramayana is this, you know, it has a wonderful storyline. Because if there is a cryptic story, you know, there are some stories with Swami Seshchinakathas which are so difficult to understand. It is out of the normal, you know, it's very weird. So you tend to think of it and you understand that it's an allegory, it's something very deep in it. So you can think and go deep in it. But the story of Rama is so beautiful as a story itself that we get lost in the plot. And that is why Swami says that rasa is important, the essence is important. And that is why Swami says the story of Rama is not of a king of Ayodhya. The story of Rama is the story of every individual.
Every individual's
effort. And that's why Swami says every aspirant can actually draw lessons from the Ramayana which will help him in his spiritual progress. And that is why listening to the Ramayana in that right frame of mind and with the right perspective is so important.
Before you give the significance, just briefly recapping the story, the hero of the story is Rama and the heroine is Sita. And what happens is they are supposed to rule over Ayodhya when suddenly Rama is banished to the forest. He goes to the forest where he kills a lot of demons, and that is when Sita gets abducted by Ravana. And how she gets abducted? She sees a deer which is almost golden in its complexion and texture. She gets the desire to possess the deer as her own pet. And she sends Rama to find the deer. And as Rama goes chasing the deer, Sita is left alone. And that is when the demon or Rakshasa, as is called in Sanskrit, Ravana, comes and kidnaps Sita. Rama then befriends Sugriva, the monkey king, and then gets Hanuman, his greatest devotee, and Jambavan is there, the bear king, and with the help of these animals, supposed to be animals who are uplifted because of the touch with Rama, he builds a bridge to Lanka across the ocean, defeats the evil king Ravana, rescues his wife Sita, gets her back before becoming the ruler of Ayodhya. So this, in short, is the Sankshipta Ramayana, the brief Ramayana. And now, Prem, I would like to invite you to give how Swami has elaborated on the inner meaning of this whole story.
Swami says, as I said, Swami calls Rama as Atma Rama. And that itself is a very interesting thing, because you don't refer to Krishna as Atma Krishna. Mm. You know, you don't refer to any other avatar as with this prelude, you know, that prefix of Atma. But only Ramayana, because it's a very direct story of the individual self. Swami says, Rama is the Atma, which has come into a body which is inert. Mm. And what is the source of that body? It's Dasharatha. And Swami says, Dasharatha means the Dashendriyas, the 10 senses of cognition and sensory reception, like, you know, your...
The Karmendriyas and the Jnanendriyas. Of the 5 senses of perception and the 5 senses of cognition.
So in that body which is born out of those senses, the Atma enters. And it pretends as though it's a Jiva. So that is the Prince Rama.
Clarifying further, Dasharatha actually means the chariot pulled by 10. And Swami says the body is a chariot which is pulled by these 10 senses. The 5 senses of cognition and the 5 senses of action. That is Karmendriyas and Jnanendriyas. So that is Dasharatha. And yes, continue please.
And Swami also says that these 4 princes, you know, Rama, the 4 brothers, Rama, Lakshmana, Bharata and Shatrughna, Swami says they also stand for the 4 human values. Because Swami says Rama is nothing but the truth. Rama, if you call him the Atman, he is the Satya. And the one who says that Satya has to rule, the one who says that I will only accept the rule of Satya, is Dharma, which is Bharata.
Wow.
Hmm. And then Swami says, who is Prema? Prema is Lakshmana, because he says, I have nothing but you. I will serve only you. I will do only what you say, because he stands for Prema. And then comes Shatrughna, who is unaffected by whatever is happening around him. That is why we hear least about Shatrughna, because he is the one who is in constant peace. So he stands for Shanti.
You know, one point here, Prem, it just struck me. Shatrughna, the name means one who annihilates the enemies. It may seem like a paradox that Shatrughna, the one who annihilates enemies, is an embodiment of Shanti, peace. Wow, we always think that war is the opposite of peace. We never think of war and annihilating enemies as peace itself. I mean, it is amazing, and I'm sure as we discuss the story, it will unravel that beautiful significance also.
Right. And then Swami says, why does Rama actually go and look for Sita?
Hmm.
Then Swami says, you know, it's a very beautiful thing. He says, how many times Swami has told that you are God, I am God, and you are also God.
Hmm.
But the difference is, I know it, you don't know it.
Hmm.
So the difference is in knowing. That is why Swami says, Sita stands for Brahmajnana. That knowledge that you are God.
Okay.
So Swami says, Rama himself is not God. It is Sita who made Rama God. And Swami says, because Sita stands for Brahmajnana.
The wisdom.
The wisdom.
The ultimate
knowledge.
The
wisdom that you are God.
Hmm.
So even though you are God, you are not in that state of realization, because you don't have the knowledge that you are God.
Ah, now I see. You know, that is why, though, you know, in the Ramayana itself, reference is made that even though there was a Sita Swayamvara where she is supposed to choose her husband, it was already decided and predestined that Rama, Sita, it's together. Sita, Rama. Sita was the wife of Rama. Rama is the wife of, husband of Sita. Even before the wedding, all the sages, everyone knew that Sita is the wife of Rama. It's almost like, whether we realize it or not, Brahmagyana, we are the part of God. You know, Atma gets Brahmagyana. We are verily inherently divine, whether we realize it or not. And just like Rama went through the process of having a wedding and marriage with Sita, in this world too, we have to put in efforts to get wedded to the Brahmagyana.
Right. And even the characters which Rama meets on the way, whether it is, you know, Vasishtha or Vishwamitra, it is Vishwamitra who gets Rama to Sita. So Vishwamitra plays the role of a guru there. Because a guru brings the knowledge that you are God to you.
Wow.
So he stands for the guru. And Janaka is also actually another aspect of the guru, because Janaka is the one who is doing the Kanyadan, who is the one who is actually giving the
daughter
knowledge.
Kanyadan meaning offering the daughter to the son-in-law. In the marriage, that process is called Kanyadan in India.
So here, Janaka is the one who is giving that knowledge to the Atman.
Okay.
So who is reminding the Atman about who he is. So he is also an aspect of the guru. And then Swami says, but it happens...
And Janaka stands for renunciation. He stands for Tyaga, right? The hands of Janaka, Swami says, you must have. So along with a guru, you need renunciation and sacrifice in order to achieve Brahmajnana.
And then Swami says that even though Rama gets Sita in the story, she is taken away by Ravana, who actually stands for desire. Ravana is nothing but Kama. And then Swami says, Rama with the help of Lakshmana, here the aspect of Lakshmana is that of Manas. Swami says, Maneva Karanam,
Maneva
Manushanam Karanam Bandha Mukshayo. And here Rama uses the help of Lakshmana, who is the Manas, and then meets Sugriva, who is discrimination, and then dispels despondency, which Vali represents, then takes the help of Hanuman, who is nothing but courage, or you know, the valor, and then crosses the ocean of delusion towards Lanka. He kills Ravana, then he kills Vibhishana, who stands for Tamoguna. Ravana stands for
Kumbhakarna,
who stands for Tamoguna. Ravana, who stands for Rajas, and then crowns Vibhishana, who stands for Sattva. And then Swami says Ramasita Kalyanam happens. And that is why, you know, even when I was talking to Arvind Sai, he was saying that Swami had given them a couple of songs, and Swami said, you have to tune this. You come and sing it to me and I'll approve the tune. So the song was going through many iterations. At one point when they sang the tune, the actual tune as it had been composed originally had the note where, you know, where in the lyrics where Sita's name came, it goes down. I mean, that's how the song was composed. Then Swami said, no, it should not be like this. When Sita's name comes, it should go up. The emphasis should be on the word Sita, because without Sita, Rama is not God.
Wow.
That is why he is called Sita Rama, because that is the most important thing in the whole story. So this is the actual essence with which Swami wants us to listen to Ramayana, not as a story of a prince who lived hundreds of or thousands of years ago, but is a story which we all are going through.
Okay, Prem, now I'll just try to summarize what you said, see if I'm right or wrong. So basically, the Ramayana is a story which says that everyone is born inherently divine. Everyone has a birthright over Brahmajnana, that is, the knowledge of the self. And yet, when one is born in the world, one is separate from the Brahmajnana. One is separate from that knowledge of the self. So, in order to get wedded to this knowledge of one's own self, one needs to have renunciation and one needs the blessings of a guru. And that is when one is able to get self-knowledge. But this knowledge of the self will be gone, will be lost once one falls into desire. So desire is something that has to be kept away at any cost. And when desire comes in, everything else comes along with it, because of which there is separation from the knowledge of the self. And then, as we see in the story of the Ramayana, even Rama cries. He sheds tears. He is in sorrow. The individual soul goes into sorrow if he loses the knowledge of the self. And then that is when one requires discrimination. That is Sugriva. One requires the mind, discrimination and courage to cross the ocean called samsara and vanquish the qualities of rajas and tamas, crowning sattva, after which one is able to again become one with the knowledge of the self, after which one is the ultimate ruler of the golden age. The Ramarajya begins for the individual. Am I right in this summary?
Yeah, I think it's only a summary, but what Swami goes on to say is every episode of Ramayana actually gives you a way of overcoming an obstacle you will find in the spiritual path.
Mm-hmm.
So every story has to be looked in that way, and there can be millions and millions of meanings for every episode, every character. And that is why on many occasions Swami says that Rama stands for Atma, Swami says Rama stands for, you know, Dashrata stands for this, Lakshmana stands for this, because one is the overall image which we can carry, but each episode has a very, very significant lesson which can be learned also.
Exactly. So
from the child to the, you know, to the Jnani, everybody can learn from the Ramayana.
So basically every character in the Ramayana, every episode in the Ramayana is a metaphor, no doubt, but is a metaphor not only for one particular angle or one particular aspect. It can act as multiple metaphors too, right? So dear listeners, as we go through this story of Rama and the Ramayana, our fervent prayers to Swami is that in our heart, let the light of His love shine and let us be able to imbibe the Karuna Rasa and Bhakti Rasa, which He says is a must for everyone who is doing Shravanam, that is listening to the Ramayana. We will come to more aspects in this curtain raiser about the Ramayana. But before that, let us enjoy this beautiful bhajan. Let us sing along with this singer. Let us follow this bhajan to our heart's content and drink deep into the nectarine name of Lord Rama.
Shri Raghavam Dasharatatmajamaprameyam Sitapatim Raghukulanmayaratnadeepam Janubahum Aravindadalayataksham Ramam Nishachara Vina Shakaram Namami Namami Raghunandana Dasharatha Nandana
Shri Raghunandana Dasharatha Nandana
Badradishwara Rama
ನಂದನ ದಶರಥ ನಂದನ ಭದ್ರಾದೀಶ್ವರ ರಾಮ ದಶರಥ ನಂದನ ಭದ್ರಾದೀಶ್ವರ ರಾಮ
ಯು ನೋ ಹೌ ಮೆನಿ ಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ಅರವಿಂದ್ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಹರ್ಡ್ ದಟ್ ಭಜನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಆಸ್ಕಿಂಗ್ ಫಾರ್ ದಟ್ ಭಜನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದಿಸ್ ವಾಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ವಾಯ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ವಿ ಕುಮಾರ್ ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ಟೆಲಿಂಗ್ ದಟ್ ದೇರ್ ವಾಸ್ ಎ ಪೀರಿಯಡ್ ಇನ್ ಐ ಥಿಂಕ್ ದ 80s ಆರ್ 90s
Mm-hmm.
When for about 30-35 days, every day Swami would ask him to sing this Alap.
Uh-huh.
And that was the time he was actually doing a project in Bangalore. Mm-hmm. Swami was living in Vrindavan. There were days when Swami would sit in Thrai Vrindavan with the students till about 8 in the night, mm-hmm. waiting for him to come back, because he might have missed a bus in the city and he would come back late. Swami would wait, he would come back, Swami would sing that bhajan. He would sing the bhajan and Swami would go back inside.
Well, coincidentally, the latest release from Sai Blossom is a video product called Sing Along Part 3. Mm-hmm. For those of our listeners who are unaware of Sing Along Part 1 and Part 2, they were very well received. They are like a complete bhajan session starting from Omkaram till Aarti, which go on for 1 hour, so that in case you are in a place where you have no access to singers, instruments or anything, you just play this DVD, have darshan, follow the lead singer and enjoy the bhajan. So the first two volumes were a great hit. So a third volume, Sing Along Part 3, Volume 3 has been brought out. And in that, this immortal bhajan has been presented, Sri Raghunandana. Well, I'm sure it's going to be a visual and an auditory and a heartfelt treat for anybody who sees and listens to it. We hope to have Sing Along Part 3, Sing Along Volume 3 on our shelves here by Swami's Aradhana Divas, that is the 24th of April. So watch out for that and ensure you have your copy.
Going back to the Ramayana and the importance of Ramayana, I think many times Swami has spoken about the glory of the name itself, you know, this glory of the name Rama, how it has come and how each akshara or bijakshara, as Swami would say, the root word has come from an important mantra of Vishnu and important mantra of Shiva.
I think, Prem, better than we dilate on it, I feel we should play that Swami's discourse. Do we have an idea when was this discourse? This was 19th
right,
of...
this was in 1996 when Swami gave a series of discourses.
The 19th of July, if I am not wrong.
This is the 19th of July. And here Swami is talking of two anecdotes of how the name Rama actually came to be from what Valmiki originally wrote.
Okay.
And I think Swami has mentioned this many times, and also how the word Rama is taken from the two important shlokas.
Yes, the clip now.
Kanukane bhumi kudanu okanoka samayamlo narayanni prarthinchindata.
This earth prayed to Narayana.
Swami. Elanti paapulunainanu nenu bharinchagalanu.
I can bear any sinner.
కానీ నీ నామస్మరణ చేయనటువంటి వారిని నేను భరించలేకపోతున్నాను.
బట్ ఐ కెనాట్ బేర్ ఎనీ ఫెలో హూ కెనాట్ సింగ్ యువర్ గ్లోరీ.
కనుక సర్వులకు నువ్వు నీ నామస్మరణ అందించి వారికి తరింపజేయడానికి తగినటువంటి మార్గం చూపించమనిందట.
సో అర్త్ ప్రే టు నారాయణ, ఓ గాడ్ షో ద వే సో దట్ దే వుడ్ సింగ్ యువర్ గ్లోరీ.
అప్పుడు
దెన్
వాల్మీకి కోటి శ్లోకాలు రాశాడట రామాయణం పైన.
వాల్మీకి కంపోజ్డ్ 1 crore stanzas of Ramayana.
Andulopala ee rasina tarvata tirigi idantha oka mullokalu varuku panchali anukunnadata.
He wanted to distribute this 1 crore of shlokas among the 3 worlds.
Kani andariki samanga panchutu vachadu.
They were all distributed equally. ముప్పై మూడు లక్షల 33 లక్ష్ 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 33 ల
లోపల దీంతో 11 అక్షరాలు ఉంటున్నాయి.
ది శ్లోక హ్యాడ్ 11 లెటర్స్.
11 అక్షరాలు ఉంటున్నప్పుడు ఈ మూడు లోకముల వరకు పంచాలి.
త్రీ వర్డ్స్ మస్ట్ రిసీవ్ ఈక్వల్లీ.
మూడు అక్షరాలు ఒక్కొక్కరికి ఒక్కొక్క ముల్లోకాల వరకు పంచాలి.
అట్ ద రేట్ ఆఫ్ త్రీ లెటర్స్ దే వర్ డిస్ట్రిబ్యూటెడ్ ఇన్ ద త్రీ వర్డ్స్.
మిగిలినాయి
టూ లెటర్స్ రిమైన్.
ఇది ఎవరికి పంచేది? ముల్లోకాల వరకు పంచడానికి వీలు కాదే.
ఓన్లీ టూ లెటర్స్ ఆర్ రిమైనింగ్. దేర్ ఆర్ త్రీ వర్డ్స్
చెప్పిందట విష్ణు. అమ్మా, ఈ యొక్క వాల్మీకి రాసినటువంటి యొక్క రామాయణమును అందరినీ పంచడానికి కారకుండా పోయింది. ఇదిగో రెండు అక్షరాలు మిగిలాయి. ఈ రెండు అక్షరాలే రామ కృష్ణ హరి శివ హర సాయి అనేటువంటి రెండు అక్షరాలుగా పెట్టుకుంటాం.
అట్ దిస్ జంక్చర్ నారాయణ టోల్డ్ ఎర్త్ ఐ డిస్ట్రిబ్యూటెడ్ ఆల్ శ్లోకాస్ ఆఫ్ రామాయణ but however only two letters remained. I could not distribute those two letters. Are Rama, Krishna, Hari, Shiva, Sai,
annintiki rendu aksharalu saripoyindi.
So two letters are here now.
Kokuni ee rendu aksharamulu kodamu daita swaroopam ani pettindi.
So these two letters are to be shared.
Kokuni prapancham aneetundi daita swaroopame.
The whole world is a jewel.
కలుగుని దాని వల్ల కొంతవరకు మానవులు కొంత మార్పు తెచ్చుతుంటారు.
ది డ్యూయలిజం విల్ మేక్ యూ
ఎ మ్యాన్ విత్ డ్యూయల్ మైండ్ ఈజ్ హాఫ్ బ్లైండ్ అని.
ఎ మ్యాన్ విత్ డ్యూయల్ మైండ్ ఈజ్ హాఫ్ బ్లైండ్.
అందువల్లే ఒకటూరు ఎస్ అని పోతుంది, ఒకటూరు నో అని వస్తుంది.
సో మైండ్ సేస్ ఎస్ ఎట్ వన్ టైమ్ అండ్ నో ఎట్ అనదర్ మోమెంట్.
ఈ ప్రకృతి యొక్క స్వభావం ఆ రీతిగా ఉంటుండాలి.
దట్ ఈస్ ది నేచర్.
కనుకనే ఈ రెండు అక్షరముల నామాన్ని ఎవరైనా స్మరించవచ్చు, అందరూ తరించవచ్చు అన్నారు.
Therefore, God's name of these two letters can be chanted, sung by anybody.
Christians kuda Jesus rendu aksharalu vachesindi.
Christians also said two letters.
Muslims kuda Allah rendu aksharalu vachesindi.
Muslims say Allah two letters.
Anninti enduru rendu aksharalu.
Every religion speaks of God two lettered one.
Anduvallane Tyagaraj cheppadu.
So Tyagaraj said,
ఎవరని నిన్ను నిర్ణయించేదిరా?
How can I decide you, God?
శివుడవో మాధవుడవో శివుడవో మాధవుడవో ఎవరని నిన్ను నిర్ణయించేదిరా?
How am I to decide? Are you Shiva or Madhava? How can I decide?
శివమంతమునకు మా జీవము మాధవ మంత్రమునకు రా జీవము. మాధవ మంత్రము ఓం నమో నారాయణాయ. నమో నారాయణాయ అనేటువంటి అష్టాచరణామంలో రకారమే దీనికి ప్రాణము అన్నాడు.
ఇన్ మాధవ మంత్ర ఓం నమో నారాయణాయ నారాయణాయ
ఆ రకాల పోతే నాయనాయ అయిపోతుంది.
నమో నారాయణాయ వితౌట్ రా ఇట్ ఈస్ మీనింగ్లెస్.
నాయనాయ అంటే ఛేదించటము.
నాయన మీన్స్ చాపింగ్ ఆఫ్ కటింగ్.
కాబట్టి దీంతో ప్రాణం లేదు.
సో దేర్ ఇస్ నో లైఫ్ హియర్.
శివ మంత్రమునకు మా జీవము. నమ శివాయ ఇందులో మకారమని లేకుంటే నమ శివాయ.
But Shiva Mantra, Namah Shivaya, Ma is the prime letter, without which it is
life Shiva. Letter.
Life letter.
Kanukane, Namah Shivaya anetvadi boy, Namah Shivaya, Makaram lekunabote, Nas Shivaya, Mangalam kaanetvadi, Amangalam aipothi.
Namah Shivaya, which is auspicious, without Ma, life letter, it is inauspicious.
Ee vivaramu telisina ganunaku mukkeda.
I pay my respects to the one who knows all these details.
Yavarani, yavarani, ninnu, ninna inche dira.
How am I to decide? In what way I can call you?
శివుడవో మాధవుడవో,
శివుడవో శివుడా మాధవ,
కానీ శివమంత్రంలో మా జీవము, మాధవ మంత్రంలో రాజీవనం, ఈ వివరము తెలిసినటువంటి వానికి నేను మ్రొక్కుతాను అన్నాడు.
దేర్ఫోర్ ఇన్ మాధవ మంత్ర లైఫ్ లెటర్ ఇస్ రా, ఇన్ శివ మంత్ర లైఫ్ లెటర్ ఇస్ మా.
కనుక ఈ రెండు చేరినటువంటిదే రామ అనే మంత్రము నేను మొక్కుతున్నాను అన్నాడు.
దీస్ టూ లెటర్స్ కాన్స్టిట్యూట్ రామ. ఐ పే మై రెస్పెక్ట్.
So that was Swami's clip where Swami is talking about where this word Rama actually came from.
You know, many thoughts came up, Prem, and one of the most prominent thoughts was, again, what Swami had told T.G. Krishnamurti sir, that what does he know? You know, if we do a Google search, it often throws up saying that there are 24,000 poems or shlokas in Ramayana. But who knows better than Swami, who said that it was distributed to the three worlds and there were 1 crore poems. And therefore 33,333 each, and one was left behind. And you know, this whole Ramayana has been composed in a meter, a poem, a poetry meter called Anushtup Chandas, which consists of 32 letters. And as Swami said, after distributing 21 letters, you're left with 11 more letters. And again, Swami said that 3 more were distributed to each of the three worlds. And finally, you're left with 2. You can't divide 2 among 3. And therefore, it was said that these 2 belong to everybody. And Swami says that these are the 2 letters. That's why all God names are these 2 letters. He says, Shiva, Hari, Hara, Vishnu, Allah, Yeshu, Sai. He says Rama, I forgot the main one, Rama. So these belong to all, which, you know, again, it gives such a profound message that God belongs to all, irrespective of whether you're above, whether you're at par or below. At all levels, God belongs to all. That is one more message that comes out strongly from that discourse, which brings us back to the poems. You know, the Ramayana is composed entirely of poems. In fact, it is known as the first ever poem composed and the first ever poem which mankind came to know of.
Right, because if you look at Sanskrit literature, and going historically, the largest body of literature we had was the Vedas. And the Vedas are not in any particular meter in that sense. So it was the Ramayana which was considered the first poetic work in Sanskrit. And as you said, Anushtup Chandas, the 32 syllable Chandas is in what it was composed. And to imagine that so many thousands and thousands of verses composed in one, you know, meter, so consistently with all the stories, with all the twists and turns, it is definitely one of the largest poetic works, even if seen in a historical sense.
You know, that is why Valmiki, who composed this whole Ramayana, has been called as the Adi Kavi or the first poet ever.
Right.
There are many discussions and debates on the Ramayana, because you know currently there are so many versions of Ramayana. Do you know, Prem, that there are Ramayana is followed even among the Buddhists,
right?
Even among the Jains, that is the followers of Mahavira. Even in the Guru Granth Sahib, right, it finds a mention where he says that there are among the 10 avatars, the 10 forms of the Lord, though towards the end, you know, in the Guru Granth Sahib, it doesn't state Lord Rama as God, but it definitely talks of him as a perfect individual. You know, there is a brief mention. Then the Ramayana is prevalent in Indonesia, in Bali, in many other countries. So that in itself, you know, from a historical perspective also shows how universal the Ramayana is. So these different people, when they have researched, they have found that due to various reasons and various proofs, that evidences that they have found, the Ramayana definitely has to be the work of a single person from the style and everything that they have seen. And that is credited to Valmiki. And Valmiki therefore becomes the first ever poet mankind came across, you know, the first poet. And the way he became a poet in itself is a fascinating story, which shows that talent is indeed a blessing from God. Talent is God. It's actually God coming in the form of talent, because otherwise poetry would not have come to mankind. But I think before we go into that, we should go into the story of how Valmiki became Valmiki from Ratnakara the thief.
Right. The story goes that Valmiki, before he became that, he was called Ratnakara and he was a dacoit in the forest. You know, who
made his living by robbing people.
Robbing people, killing them and robbing them. And he had his own family, he was living in the forest. And the story goes that one day he comes across the sage Narada. And, you know, like he always does, he accosts him and he tries to, you know, steal from him. And that's when Narada says that I am a sage, you know, I am a renunciant, I have nothing in my hand, I have nothing to give you. So he says that, you know, don't tell me all this, whatever you have, you give it to me. And then Narada says that I have something which is much more precious than what you have stolen all your life, but you're not ready for it yet. And then, you know, Ratnakara is trying to think, I mean, he thinks that he's trying to wriggle out of the situation. So then Narada posts a very interesting question. He says, what do you do with all the money that you steal? So then Ratnakara says that I take it back home and I share it with my family, with my parents, my wife and my children. So he says, what about all the sin that you accumulate?
Along with the money.
With the money. So then Ratnakara says that obviously that also will be shared by my family. Then Narada says, are you sure? Are you sure that the people who are ready to share in the spoils are ready to share in the sin also? So then Ratnakara is not very sure. So Narada says, you go and find out from your wife and come. And I will wait here for you. And for some strange reason, Ratnakara feels that Narada is a man of his word. So he leaves him where he is and goes to his wife and asks her, are you ready to share the sin which I have accumulated in the process of getting you money and food? So then the wife, who is a wise one, she says that no, I am not ready to share the sin. Because she says that
it's your duty to provide.
It's your duty to provide for your wife, your family and your children. So I am not, you know, a person who is going to share the wrong ways in which you are bringing it to me. So he says, there is no way I am going to share your sin. And that's when actually Ratnakara realizes that, you know, he has made a mess of his life.
He realizes that his sinful ways are to be faced only by him. That is when Ratnakara rushes back to Narada and falls at his feet saying that, what is that precious thing you said that you have, that you will give it to me, so that I need not lead this kind of a life, a sinful life that I have been leading till now. I want to give it up. He sincerely repents. Now, the great treasure that Narada was speaking about is nothing but the Rama Nama, the name of Lord Rama. The name that redeems, that name that gives the greatest serene joy that we spoke about, tranquil joy that we spoke about. But you know, Narada is in a tricky situation because he has been commanded by Vishnu that you should not give the Rama Nama to anybody. It is your secret. It is for you to enjoy and chant and liberate yourself.
And that is when Narada actually comes up with a beautiful ploy. And the way he plays it, he says, I will give you a mantra which you chant over and over again. And instead of saying giving the Rama Nama, which he was forbidden from doing, he says, you chant the syllables Mara.
Mara, Mara.
Mara, Mara. And so while Ratnakara takes this Upadesha from Narada and he sits in meditation and starts chanting this Mara, Mara. And everybody is wondering, what is this man who is sitting in? Because Mara has so many other meanings. Mara also means to kill. Mara also means desire. There are so many other words which mean Mara. But even as he is sitting and chanting Mara, 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 he actually, without his knowledge, starts chanting the Ramanama. Because even if we were to keep repeating Mara, 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 we will realize that we start chanting
Ram, 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 Ram. Yes. And as he chants, he starts enjoying the bliss, the joy that is derived by you know, relishing the sweetness of this name. He's so lost that he doesn't realize an anthill that comes around him. In fact, in Sanskrit, Valmikam means an anthill. And that is why he is called Valmiki, meaning a person who came out of an anthill. Because that is when he gets the blessing from Brahma, who blesses him saying that he will be the one to share the glory and story of Rama to the entire universe. And again, that happens in a very amazing fashion. Because, you know, when he was Ratnakara, he is nothing but a petty robber, a dacoit, a killer, a murderer. He has had no education, nothing. He's been living in the forest. Yes, a nomad, a person living in the forest. Now he has been christened Valmiki by Brahma and he has been told to write the story of the Lord. How is he going to do that? And it happens in a manner which even surprises him. It happens that one day as he is going for his bath, he is about to step into the river, he watches above, he sees a pair of cranes engaged in the mating ritual. And even as they are engaged thus, an arrow comes and kills the male bird. And the female bird, the Krauncha Pakshi as it's called in Sanskrit, wails out, bemoans the loss of her beloved. And seeing this pitiful scene, Valmiki's heart rushes to that bird. And in that, sorrow, in that deep sorrow, spontaneously, a poem comes out of his mouth. He says, Ma nishada pratishtam tomagama shashwati sama yat krauncha mituna dekamavadi kama mohitam. And, you know, it goes, there is a saying which says, Shokatvam shlokam agataha, which means from the shoka came the shloka, from the sorrow came the poem. And once this poem, it came on its own, you know, it was inspired by the scene, but it came from within. And he was absolutely unaware of Sanskrit, the grammar, nothing. And yet the poem came. And that was the meter in which the entire Ramayana has been composed. And that is why Valmiki has become the Adi Kavi. So, it is so beautiful. And I remember sometime back, this entire scene was portrayed in the Sai Kulwant Hall in a drama. And they came very close to reliving history of what might have happened, actually. I think before we proceed ahead to concluding this curtain raiser, we should definitely listen to that little piece.
Manishada pratishtam vamagama shashvati samaha yatkrauncha midunadekam avadi kamamo.
And that was a very, very important situation because, you know, here is a person who has come out of meditation. Valmiki has come from years and years of chanting the Ram Nama, and spontaneously not only did he create poetry, he has also cursed somebody. He has also cursed a person that you will never see true happiness in your life. And that's when the story goes that he goes to the river for his morning ablutions and his sandhya. And there, the Lord Brahma actually gives him a vision. And he says, stop worrying, it was meant to be. You were just an instrument in whatever happened. And then Brahma tells him that the shloka which came out of you was in this chandas. It was in Anushtup chandas. And you are going to actually write the entire story of Lord Rama in this chandas.
You know, one profound point that you brought up there, saying that when he curses, he says, Nishada means a hunter. Oh hunter, you know, just as you have brought such pain to this bird that was kama mohitam, that was engaging in the sport of mating, in the same manner you too will undergo such suffering. There is no way for you to escape the consequences of this action of yours. So immediately after doing it, as you said, he feels so repentant. And how could I, you know, having done all this, how am I cursing? That is when Brahma reassures him, telling him, don't worry, it's all part of the master plan. Now this is another beautiful aspect that gets to be noticed when we talk about the Ramayana story, of how the entire Ramayana, and in fact our entire life, because after all Ramayana is nothing but the story of each individual's life, as Swami puts it so beautifully, we realize that everything is part of a master plan. And therefore there is no use celebrating our victories or fretting and fuming and getting frustrated over our disappointments, because everything is part of a plan. I am reminded of that quote in the library of Vrindavan, where, you know, where I got the chance of doing my undergraduate studies. There is this board which says, God has a plan for me and that is all I need to know. The story of Ramayana stresses a lot on this message that everything is part of a master plan. And once you know that everything is part of a master plan, why do you worry when God is in charge? So therefore, it also helps us to easily surrender to our Lord and Master.
When Valmiki comes out of his meditation, you know, one of the doubts which he is constantly having is, how should a man live? Because he has actually gone through a period of transformation. So he is constantly asking himself the question, how should a man actually lead his life? And what ideal should a man follow? And he keeps asking himself, is there anybody who has lived a life which is ideal, which is worth emulating? And that is when Narada comes and tells him, yes, there is a man. And he is, you know, he's, what is that word which they use, the name for Rama. He says he is the perfect Purusha. He is the one who is perfect and he needs to be emulated. And then tells him that there is a man living like that. His name is Rama. And his story you should write.
There is a Purushottama.
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 Right.
The Uttama. Uttama means the perfect among individuals. And in fact, Rama, the other way in English, you know, they often call him as the perfect man because he not only attains perfection in his physical body and his mental prowess, even in the way one should lead life with Satya and Dharma, he is perfection. And that is one more speciality, as you said, of the Ramayana, where you can follow all the actions of Rama. They say that follow the words of Krishna and follow the actions of Rama. Rama is an avatar whom we can blindly follow because it came as an avatar to set up an ideal for man. The perfect man, how does a perfect man behave? How does a perfect man lead his life? And how does a perfect man terminate his sojourn on earth? All of this becomes clear from the life of Lord Rama. And that is why it is beautiful for us. We can feel kinship and we can appreciate and enjoy the Ramayana.
So that, dear listeners, I think with that we should draw the curtains on this curtain raiser, and maybe from the next week we will start the Ramayana, Ramakatha Rasvaini, as Swami has given it to us. But you know, there is always a saying that whenever you chant the name of Rama, whenever you sing the glory of Rama, you will always have the company of Hanuman. Because he says he will always come when Ramayana is being shared, Ramayana is being sung, Rama's glory is being sung. So I think maybe we should leave with a song for Hanuman. And I remember, you know, there is one particular Swamiji, I think he's still there. He does nothing but doing Ramakatha Parayanam. He keeps telling the story of Ramayana. And whenever he starts, he would actually have a mat placed for Hanuman. He would say, this is for Hanuman, because it is said and it is for sure that wherever Rama's name is chanted, wherever Ramayana is recited, he will come and listen.
Thank you so much for bringing that up, Prem. It fills my heart with so much joy and thrill, because imagine, till now for all our satsang, we would have the Supreme Lord of the Universe, Swami, here sitting by our side. Today onwards, apart from the Supreme Lord of the Universe, we'll also have the Supreme Devotee of the Lord. One, the goal. One, the means to reach the goal. Wow, it is going to be excellent and fantastic. So dear listeners, this satsang, we offer it at the lotus feet of our Sai Rama and bring it to a close with this bhajan dedicated to the foremost devotee of Rama, Shri Hanuman.
Dhimatamarishtam Vatatmajam Vanayutamukhyam Shri Ramadutam Sharanam Prapadye Shri Ramadutam Sharanam Prapadye Shri Ramadutam Sharanam Prapadye.
Vayu Kumara वानर वीरा
वायु कुमारा वानर वीरा
वायु कुमारा वानर वीरा
वायु कुमारा वानर वीरा
अति बलवंता हनुमंता अति बलवंता हनुमंता
अति बलवंता हनुमंता
केसरी नंदन अन्न ಅಂಜನಿ ಪುತ್ರ ಕೇಸರಿ ನಂದನ ಅಂಜನಿ ಪುತ್ರ ಜಯ ಹೋ ಜಯ ಹೋ ಪವನ ಕುಮಾರ 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 ವಾಯು ಕುಮಾರ ವಾನರ ವೀರ ಅತಿ ಬಲವಂತ ಹನುಮಂತ ಕೇಸರಿ ನಂದನ ಅಂಜನಿ ಪುತ್ರ ಜಯ ಹೋ ಜಯ ಹೋ ಪವನ ಕುಮಾರ ಜಯ ಹೋ ಜಯ ಹೋ ಪವನ ಕುಮಾರ ಜಯ ಹೋ ಜಯ ಹೋ ಪವನ ಕುಮಾರ 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 ವಾಯು ಕುಮಾರ ವಾನರ ವೀರ
ಮುನಿಸತಿ ರೂಪೈ ಪಾದ ದೂರಿಕೆ ಶಿಲಪುಲ
ఉలగించి ముందు నిలిచేరా ముని సతి రూపై ఎదురు చూసిన శబరి జన్మము ఎదురు చూసిన శబరి జన్మము ధన్యమాయేరా అతిథి వినీవై రామ రామ శ్రీరామ రామ రామ రఘురామ రామ రామ శ్రీరామ సాయి రామ రఘురామ రాణి కరకు బోయకు కావ్యము రాసే కవితను సగితివి భాషే రాణి కరకు బోయకు కావ్యము రాసే కవితను సగితివి నామనంబురా నిలిచి ఉండవా నామనంబురా నిలిచి ఉండవా నా జన్మము తెలియింపజేయవా రామ రామ శ్రీరామ రామ రామ రఘురామ రామ రామ శ్రీరామ రామ రామ రఘురామ రామ రామ శ్రీరామ ఈ రామ మే నాతారక మంత్రం రామ రామ శ్రీరామ తారక మంత్రం మధురం మధురం దివ్యవరం మధురం మధురం దివ్యవరం పరమ పావనం ఈ గుణగానం రామ రామ శ్రీరామ రామ రామ రఘురామ రామ రామ శ్రీరామ రామ రామ రఘురామ రామ రామ శ్రీరామ రామ రామ రఘురామ రామ రామ శ్రీరామ